heart. Everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Everybody there at 1 Corinthians chapter 13? You know, there's an old song by, was his name John Fogerty, of the Creedence Clearwater Revival? He had a song that said, I just jotted down a few of the words. He says, I know it's true, oh, so true, because I saw it on TV. Anybody remember that song? Mother, got one? You know, I want to be careful today because the Lord is in tonight. He's in every night. But I had three sermons. And I was wanting to do the other one. And then I was wanting to do the next one real bad. But God changed it on me. And then He confirmed it on me. He confirmed it with Pastor Jeff in here one day. He didn't have a clue. He just said some things. And the songs lined up with it tonight. It's the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. But it blesses my heart to see God in action. And it's not the man, it's the God, isn't it? So tonight we're going to touch base on some things. It's going to be more of a teaching unless the Lord changes it. Amen?
Amen?
But we're going to cover some ground. It's not new ground. Everybody say, it's not new.
It's not new.
But it's something we need to hear.
Yeah.
It's something we need to be reminded of from time to time. We need to be grounded in it and keep hearing it. How many of you know you can hear something, have a revelation, and then 6 months down the road you've kind of forgotten most of it? And you start digging, you go, oh, and you go, oh, and you start working it back, and you go back. Well, this is one of those lessons. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're gonna deal with a whole chapter tonight. But first of all, Paul was writing to the Corinth church. Now, the Corinth church was one of the major trade routes of the time. So they had people coming through their cities in their area from the ports, from all the different locations. They had every kind of culture. They had every kind of person. They had the sailors. They had the rich people. They had the poor people. They had the thieves. They had all kind of people coming through their area. And the church was comprised of these type of people. So what happened was as the church began to get added to more and more, they began to argue among themselves. They begin to argue about this person thinks they're better than this person. This person thinks that they're not like us. They're different. They begin to argue about the spiritual gifts, about tongues and different things. They begin to discuss things and having just disputes about various things. Somebody said they were arguing about food, but they were arguing about sexual immorality. Some people believed you could do some things. Some people believed you could do other things. Some people believed you couldn't do any of it. So they were in a church in dispute. It sounds a lot like churches today, doesn't it? You know, and I think it's hilarious sometimes. I see some of those churches call themselves the Corinthian church of so-and-so or the First Corinthian church of this and that because it doesn't speak highly of kingdom people. You know, amen? But they bless their hearts. They go about it their way. But today we're going to talk about a love that never fails. A love that never fails. I believe that this message today is going to be a message for someone or several people tonight specifically. I believe this word is going to root in someone's heart tonight, and you're going to know it as it unfolds. I believe you're here for that specific purpose. God doesn't change things and orchestrate things and give confirmation and give peace and rest and begin to let us flow with Him unless He's up to something good. Amen?
Amen.
So this is about a love that never fails. Now, I joked in the beginning about love. Well, you saw it on TV, so it's true. How many of y'all know we can be led astray by TV?
Yeah.
You know, you hear it enough, they say it enough, they talk enough, they're very sincere when they say it. You begin to go, you know, I believe there might be something to that. And the next thing you know, you tell somebody else, you know, did you hear about this? And you start telling them. And then you hear something else, and the next thing you know, that's truth.
Yeah.
Because you saw it on TV.
Right.
Well, the church, we need to be reminded from time to time about what love is. You know, our pastor talks about staying out of the ditches. Amen?
Right.
He talks about our tendency as sheep is to get over too far to the right or too far to the left, get back in the road. So tonight I want to help you and help myself get back in the road.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about true love, what the love of God is all about and what our love is supposed to look like. We're going to look at what happens if it's not present. We're going to see the practical aspects of love. We're going to define it step by step. It's going to get a little slow for a while. And then we're going to get down to the end of this thing. And we're going to talk about why you should know this thing and how that should give you hope. why it should give you hope to know about specific love. We're going to talk about basically that the degree to the degree that you love is the degree of your maturity. Yeah. Okay? So we're not here to step on toes. Y'all all know we don't throw rocks
right.
at Abundant Life, right? None of us have any. If you only knew how true that was, none of us have any right to throw any rocks at anybody. So, you everybody there?
Yes.
He starts off on chapter 13. We've heard this chapter so many times, but the first three verses are the ifens verses. Everybody say ifens.
Ifens.
You ever heard of ifens? Ifens is if you do this, this will happen. If and this happens, then this will happen. Ifens. So he starts off giving us three ifens. Ifens, if, is always conditional. It always means if this happens, then you can expect this. It's kind of like I tell Pastor Jeff, I'll say, brother, I'd be glad to do that if you do this. Now, I just told him I was glad to do it, but I asked him to do something to get it back, right?
Right.
So I put an if on him, didn't I? How many of y'all ever put ifs on your husbands and wives or friends and relatives? How many? Come on. Somebody be honest. We need some honesty tonight. All right. Thank you. Okay. But it starts off in verse 1. It says ifin. Everybody say ifin.
Yeah.
That's Jerry's version. I'm not being disrespectful to your King James or whatever you use, but Jerry says ifin. He says, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels. Now he's talking about tongues now. He says, but do not have love, I'll become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Or a clanging cymbal. Now, he just talked about something. He said, if I talk in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, what in the world has that got to do with anything? If I told you that you were a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, you'd look at me and say, man, you've got major problems. But what is he talking about? He says, if you talk in tongues, which most of us do, and if you don't, that's okay. But most of us here tonight, we speak in tongues. We believe in that. But he just said, if you do that and you do not have love, which is agape love, not sloppy agape, but it means, it basically just is a kind of way to understand it is no strings attached, okay? So he said, but you don't have that kind of love, then you're just a noise. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, what he's just simply saying is, if you're just a noise, when the noise leaves, you don't leave anything behind.
That's right.
You don't leave any. God wants you to be fruitful and leave fruit behind wherever you go.
Come on.
And he says here that if you do that, even speak in tongues and exercise the gifts, if you have other talents and other abilities and other things, natural or spiritual, and you do these things, but you don't do them in love, he said that you are like a noisy cymbal. In other words, you don't leave any fruit around. If you go to the grocery store, how many of you know that God wants you to leave fruit there?
Yeah.
You can take it, but he wants you to leave it.
Yeah.
My wife has the hardest time with that. Everybody say, bless our heart.
Bless our heart.
She'll go to the line and check out, and if they're goofing off and talking and carrying on, if anybody here run cash register, you watch out for her. Because she'll come to the car and say, I'd fire every one of them. I'd fire them. They were rude, crude, didn't do anything, blah, 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 blah. She didn't leave much fruit there. But, you know, we all have our areas that we get touched on, don't we? But God wants you to take the gifts and the abilities and the skills you have and leave fruit everywhere you go.
Amen.
And it says here, but if you don't do it in love or with a motivation of love, then you're not leaving fruit anywhere.
Yeah.
And he wants you to leave it behind. Then he said another ifin. The next ifin was verse 2. He says, if I had the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries. Now, everybody listen. We all know about the gift of prophecy. Those of you, if you're visiting and you're not sure about us, just nod your head and I'll leave it alone. Just go, okay. He's talking about you have the gift of prophecy. He said, you're talking about prophecy. We all know about prophets. We all know about that. But then look at what he says right after that. Not just a prophet, but he says someone who knows all mysteries. The Greek word for all means all. And all knowledge. And then he says, if you have all faith, so as to be able to move mountains. Ifin, but do not have love, then you're nothing. Now listen, I mean, can I just be honest with y'all? If somebody came in to the church today and they were prophets who had all knowledge and knew all mysteries and had faith that could move mountains, we'd go get them one of them Fred Flintstone dodo bird hats and make them apostle of something. We would decorate them, put feathers on it. We'd put all kind of stuff, and we'd follow that person around. We'd be going, "Oh, great dodo bird! Yes, yes, yes." We'd follow. He's got the word. You think that's crazy and far fetched? But I literally saw one time grown men, they had invited someone who claimed to be an apostle, like I'm talking about, a guy who was. He had all knowledge and all this. I watched these grown men get in the floor. Am I lying about it? They get in the floor at his feet. He's sitting in a chair at his feet like children to a father. And y'all know I was a blessed man. Everybody know he's a patient, loving man. And I started rebuking all that stuff. And I was praying. They would pray, "Lord, just give us wisdom. We thank you, O glorious Father, for this man you sent among us, this apostle of the..." And they were praying. And I'm going, "Lord, I just ask you in Jesus' name, you give us wisdom, God. Do not let us be deceived. Do not..." And I started preaching. And they'd all look at me like... They'd start with, "Lord..." You know, I know they're probably saying, "Please save this man." Talking about me. But they were convinced that this man, he had written some books. He was a bright man, very charismatic, European type fellow. You know, he walked around with a plaid shirt, blue t-shirt, and button down, and he had the black hair, tall, dark, handsome, a little gray on the edge. And I mean, he had it going on. He had it all going on. And they were ready to give him the great dodo hat of the Flintstones. If he just said here, though, if you were like that and you didn't have love, you're nothing. In other words, you not only can't leave fruit behind, but you're not fruitful. That's what it means in the Greek. You're just not fruitful. And then he gives us the third if. And he said, "And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor..." Now listen to this. "And I surrender my body to be burned." Man, he's talking about feeding the poor, martyrdom, giving his life for Jesus. That's a pretty serious thing. We'd give him a dodo hat, wouldn't we? "But do not have love, it profits nothing." And in the Greek, that means you're useless. Useless. Now, you read that, and Paul is the apostle of grace. He taught grace. He taught grace so much that people accused him of all kinds of things. It was either a revival or a riot wherever Paul went because of his message. But here he's saying, love's not present, then you're just not doing too much. Now, I wonder tonight, and I'm not pointing fingers, but you know what? I know me. And I know me well enough to know that sometimes in my life, I wanted to do things because it was fulfilling to me. I wanted to become things because it's what I wanted. I wanted to say things because I like fixing people, telling them what's the truth or how I perceive the truth. I like doing that kind of stuff. And for years, I looked for something to fulfill me. I had a business one time that I was the money. Listen, they'll know how ignorant I really am when I say this. I had a business. I made a little over $100,000 a year for two hours a night, 5 days a week. And I sold that business for $20,000 because I wanted to be fulfilled. I said that. Bless my wife. Bless her heart. I told her, I said, "I want to sell this business because..." I said, "Baby, I'm just not fulfilled. I'm just not fulfilled, man. I need something to be fulfilling." Well, how many of y'all know I got fulfilled? It ain't been right since. I had to go to work. I had to do things I didn't want to do. All of a sudden, I got behind. I was like one of the Flintstones peddling them cars. I was working myself to death trying to make up for the lost income. We do crazy things. And we all do them, so don't act like I'm the only one. I've got a few brothers and sisters, being honest, but you know, we all have made those mistakes and decisions. Amen? Yes. Help me out. Y'all not drawing for me. Y'all said y'all were going to draw. Y'all agreed with the pastor. Hallelujah. Bring him on. We'll bring him on. Y'all come on now. Let's get with this program. So he got through with the ifs, and the next thing he's doing, he said, now that we got the ifs out of the way, I'm going to tell you all about what love, how you can recognize love, what it really is. He begins to give you things and lists of things about what love really is. And see, we have been told, men tell women for years what they love them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Remember the low talking thing we talked about last time? Baby, you know, if you love me. Doing all that stuff, they're carrying on all that nonsense. Then the women don't have a clue what true love is. They grow up with these rascals and they think that's love, right? I mean, I'm not going to get on the women's side because they have their own thing, but I'm not that ignorant. I got safe from being that ignorant. There was a time I put the E in ignorant, and I want you to know that. I was the king of it. But Paul got through with it, and then he begins to spell out what love really is. Now, for your information, I have a check sheet. So if there's any of you brothers and sisters that's like me, this check sheet here is it love checklist. So if you're struggling, having to make decisions, or want to make decisions, this is a checklist that we'll give you free of charge. You just need to let me know after church, and we'll get the Pastor Jeff to run copies or someone to run copies all free of charge, but you got to let me know. We're not going to run off a bunch just to have them sitting around. But it's a checklist. It goes over all the things that Paul just describes as how love manifests itself. And you can check yes or no on every decision that you're having to make. Make copies of it. Do what you want to with it. But you can ask yourself, am I walking in love? Because if you're not walking in love, you're not going to leave fruit behind. You're not going to be fruitful. And what you do is going to be useless. Amen? So we now, come on, y'all, help me out. Then y'all saying, well, brother, that we saved by grace. You are, but the grace preacher just said you got to have love, did he not?
Amen.
If you got the seed of God in you, then you've got love in
amen.
You.
Amen.
You don't have to strain and work it up. You just let it out. Right. Does everybody say amen?
Amen.
Say, don't work it up.
Right.
Just let it out.
Yes.
All right. Now, I'm going to go over these real quick. Everybody ready?
Amen.
It starts with verse 4 through 8. Now, I'm going to list these. You can underline them as we go through them because I got a lot of ground to cover. Now, I want y'all to know that when the clock's up there and it gives me time, how much I got left, the other time I was up here, they had the time up there, I think. Can they put the time up there? If the time's up there, I think I got 8 hours and 30 minutes to go. And then I got 8 hours and 35 minutes to go. I think I'm anointed. You see what I'm saying? So y'all need to pray for me. So we'll pray for him. Let's go over this. He said love is, and he's about to tell you how love manifests itself. He's about to give you descriptions of love. You don't have to trust the TV anymore. You don't have to trust anybody else anymore. This is the Word of God. He's about to tell you how love manifests itself. Now, if it doesn't do this, if it doesn't look like this, you know what the saying is? If it walk like a duck, talk quack like a duck, MR what? And if it don't, MR something else, right? All right. First thing he said, love is patient. Now, on the checklist, you'll have a definition of what patient means in the Greek language here, so you can just be as easy to understand. You ready? Patient just means long-suffering, slow to anger. I love this one. Slow to punish. Slow to punish. How many of y'all have ever been wanting to get them back real quick? Men. Y'all ought to be nodding y'all's head. Y'all have experienced such suffering. Y'all have experienced such suffering. Patient. Slow to anger and slow to punish someone. Love is that way. Now the next one. Love is kind. That means mild, gracious, and merciful. So if you're not mild, gracious, and merciful, it's not love, is it? Not jealous. However, this is one of mine. I like this one too. Jealousy, in the Greek, the word can mean jealousy or envious. Okay? Very quick definition of envious and jealousy. It just means this. Jealousy means you want what someone has. They have a new car. You wish you had a new car. They had a new house. You wish you had a new house. Had a good looking boyfriend. You wish you had a boyfriend or husband. If they had something else that you wanted in your life, you want that. But envy wants theirs. Jealousy wants what? The same? Envy wants theirs. They resent you having it, and if they can get it, they will get it. But if you're doing that, it's not love, is it? Apostle Grace said so, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Not anything about salvation, it's about what? About love. He's talking about love here. So if it's envious and jealousy of anything, then it's not walking in love. And if you're not walking in love, it's not fruitful. You're not leaving any fruit behind, right? and it's useless. The very next thing he says, does not brag. Now, we know the women have problems with it. It's not the men. Lion's not in here. Does not brag. That just means have a high estimation of yourself and you praise yourself excessively. My. You know, people who are bragging on themselves really are insecure, aren't they?
Yes.
Really are. But love doesn't do that. Bible also says it's not arrogant, which is another puffed up. I like the Greek on that. It says blowed up. They speak in my English language. They blow it up, you know? Also says does not act unbecomingly, which means to behave indecently or embarrassingly, disgraceful or cause shame or dishonor. Does not, love doesn't do that. Love does not seek its own. Like I was telling you, I was wanting to do what I wanted and so forth and so on because I wanted to be fulfilled. I was seeking my own. But love doesn't do that. Doesn't do that. Not easily provoked. It says it's not easily irritated or aroused in anger. Love, everybody look at me and say, love doesn't do that either. Love does not keep account of hurts or wrong treatment. In other words, it means to keep account of wrongs in order to pay to get them back. Now keep in mind that what that means, in the Greek, it means like an accountant's ledger, where they have accounts receivable, accounts payable on this column. It has the same, this means that. You put it in a column. You mark it down, and somebody owes you something, and you're going to get them back to balance the books. That's what that means. But love didn't do that. If love doesn't do that, if you do that, that means you're not walking in love, right? And if you're not walking in love, you're not of any use, not living fruit. What else? Not fruitful? Useless? Quickly. Everybody say quickly.
Quickly.
Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. That just does not speak delightfully. Interestingly, the Greek word here has more to do with speaking than rejoicing. Does not speak delightfully or boastfully over evil, injustice, or iniquity. Love doesn't do that. Rejoices in truth. Delight, that means to delight in the truth. Then it says, bears all, believes all, hopes all, endures all. And here's the long definition of that. It endures and covers faults of others. Now, I don't mean you hide someone's sin. It just means when you see somebody make a little, you know, they just... the head's just not screwed on quite right that day. Or like I heard somebody talk about bread not being done or something. Somebody was talking about that the other day. If it just ain't right, something just ain't right, you don't go about talking about those people and uncover them. You know they're so ignorant. You know, their heart's not right. Love didn't do that. Everybody say love didn't do that.
Never does.
Never will.
Never will.
If we do it.
If we do it,
we're not walking in love. And then it says, love never fails. Now, love never fails. I may fail you. Somebody else may fail you, but love will never fail you. Now, let's move down to verses 9 and 12, and we're going to get into the actual sew up the teaching on this, and we're going to move. I really feel like there's a time of ministry tonight, brother. But we'll let the Lord decide. He said next in verse 9 through 12, he picks up and he says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. And then mark verse 11. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child. I used to think like a child. I used to reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Now this is called a pivot point. He's telling us something. He's giving us some clues of some things. And we're going to go into some of that tonight. If you would, turn over to 1 John chapter 2. Remember, the degree of love that you exhibit in your life is the degree of maturity that's in your life. 1 John chapter 2. Hey, when you get there, just say amen.
Amen.
Need a few more?
Amen.
One more?
Amen.
All right. We're going to start with verse 12. I said 9. We're going to start with verse 12. Now, he just talked about if-ins. If love's not present, then this is a result of. This is what we can expect. Then he talked about how you can recognize true love, biblical love. He told us all the things we just went over. And then he pivoted. He made a pivot. He turned. He said this: when I was a child, I thought and reasoned and so forth like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, what in the world is he talking about? How does that fit in? Well, if we go over here and read this chapter that I said, starting with verse 12, it says, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven because of Christ Jesus. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I am writing to you who are mature because you know Christ, the one who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you who are young because you have won the battle with Satan. I have written to you, children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, mature, you who are mature because you know Christ, the one who is from the beginning. I have written to you who are young because you are strong and God's word living in your hearts and you have won your battle with Satan. Now, the definition of maturity itself is to know the difference between right and wrong and choosing right. Everybody got that? You know the difference between right and wrong and you choose right. Many of us know the difference between right and wrong. We choose wrong. Everybody say, okay, it's okay. Right. This is not a mean thing. Everybody say, he's got no mean in him.
Ain't got no mean in him.
He's got no. Amen. What's he talking about here? He's talking about three different types of people. He talked about children, young men, and fathers. Mm-hmm. Each one of those have very distinct personality traits in the natural and the spiritual. Each one of them have some similarities of growth. They're connected with the other, but they're all very different. Now listen to this. When someone is a child, we all have a little of us all in it. Child, young man, father in us. We're all growing to different stages. But when you have the child in you, and the child is running your life in you, that you're just at a level of a childish level. Everybody, we okay with that? When you're just not as mature as some others, you know, regardless of the whys and what you, it doesn't matter. It's just where you are. There's some very distinct characteristics you need to be aware of. Not to put you down, but to lift you up. Because this doesn't necessarily point to where you are, but point where you're going. Amen? Because we're all moving from children to young man to father. We're all moving from a child to an adolescent to a mature person, all right? But listen to what a child does. A child is known because by being led by their emotions. Okay? Amen. So that means if you're an emotional person and you're led by your emotions, you're still operating in that area. A child wants what they want, when they want, and how they want it. And because they are like that, they are tossed to and fro by everything that happens in their life because they want what they want when they want. If you've ever had a small child and you've been stuck on I-75, they're in a car seat behind you and they're hungry and they pooped and they start screaming, they could care less that I-75 is blocked up. They will scream and holler and pitch their little hissy fit until they get what they want. How many of y'all know that even the toddlers do that? They'll scream and pitch a fit. They'll do things and they'll do all until they know what they want. They want it when they want it and they want it how that they just want it. They don't care about all the, is it good for you? They don't care about this or that. They want what they want when they want. They're very emotional. And if you're making decisions tonight based on your emotions, then this is where you are and it's okay. You're going, you know where you're going, right? You're not camping out. You're not staying there. You're moving on. But emotional people are childish people. Now, I'm emotional. I am emotional. But the difference is I try not to be led by my emotions. I try to choose what's right and wrong. I try to discern things, count and call. I try to just figure some things out. I try to wait. I'm not always successful. My wife has seen the little child and Jerry come out. And she played the father and put me in my place. But that's the child. Paul said, I write to you children. The second one, measure of maturity is young men. Now listen to this. This could be young women. This could be young men. I'm just saying young men for the sake of arguments here. Young men. The young men are the fighters. That is a maturity place, the place in your maturity where you're caught in the battle of faith, but torn with reason. You're ready to fight. You're ready to let you're the person that you're in that place of your growth that you say, let me at him. Let the old men go and let the baby start crying, because here we go. They are ready. They're looking for a fight. And in the church, they're the ones who give pastors a whole bunch of trouble, because they're just ready to go. You got children who are crying, wanting what they want when they want. Then you got the fighters who are ready to fight, kick and scream and pull hair and do everything they can. They overcame Satan. They understand the victory. They understand the power and authority over Satan. They understand that thing. They're looking for another fight. Amen. That's what they do. But listen to this. They analyze. They're torn between the emotion of their childhood and the wisdom of their future. They're in this battle. I mean, y'all know adolescents. Y'all got teenagers. Y'all know what that's. They just like that. Voices are changing. They're growing up. They're wanting to be the man, but every now and then you see the baby come out in them, and that's what we're talking about. But listen to this. And I remember this. This was in me. I did this so many times. Those who are at this level of maturity look for signs, looking for circumstances to lead them. They can't trust the word enough because they're torn between reason and wisdom. Mm-hmm. So they're the ones that look for signs. Yeah, Lord, how many of y'all? Lord, if y'all just knew. One time I was praying, I was at my window, and I was doing one of those sanctified prayers. It was fall. It was just a beautiful time of day, crisp outside. And I was at the window going, oh, Heavenly Father, I just bless you, Almighty God. Yes. And I was praying. And I said, Lord, I felt like the Lord was wanting me to go in this direction. I said, Lord, if you want me to go in that direction, which is in my heart, here I am, Lord, send me. But God, I ask that you send two red birds by my window. Am I lying? Bless my heart. Two red birds flew right by my window. Being the spiritual man I was, I bowed my head. I said, thank you, Father, for those two birds. I ask you to do it one more time. So I'll know that I know that I know that that was you. The Lord is my witness. Two more red birds. I was so spiritual, I went, that's just me. Just me. You see, a young man, an adolescent, is torn between wisdom. It's torn between the child that's in the moat wanting what they want. See, I was wanting to do something. I was trying to help God. And I said, God, send me these red birds. And the red birds are still one of my favorite birds today. The red birds came by. But if that's where you are, that's okay. Because that's just pointing where you've been. You've been back yonder, but now you're really going up here. Showing you, you're going somewhere. You are growing. You are changing. You are experiencing grace and power and maturing. You are going somewhere. Look at somebody and say, I'm going somewhere. Amen. Now you get to the fathers. When you get to the fathers, we always think it's going to be those people who are, you remember the ones on the mountain with the thick gray hair and the gray eyebrows, and they sat with the robes and all that kind of stuff. Al said it fits his description. That's him. We should have been calling you all along. But y'all know who I'm talking about? The people on the mountains. What are they called? They call something, but anyway, the old great cheeky poos or something. But they're on the mountains, and they're supposed to have all the wisdom. You go up to them and say, oh, great one, you ask about something. They go, oh, grasshopper or something. They will come back. And they help you out, and they give you wisdom. Well, see, that's how we see a father. But that's not really what a father is. It's not that. It's really not. A father is someone who trusts God's word and his revealed will. They're not off on the emotion. They may feel emotions. They may have fears. They may have struggles. But the word of God is what they lean on and what they decide by. Someone who is father maturity, they not only know God's word as his will, but they know his ways. They know when he moves. And if y'all, Pastor Mike was laughing the other day about how we get up here sometimes and we're Y'all have seen us over the mic. So I'm going, oh, Lord God, help me. Give me strength. Give me peace, Lord. Give me. Just tell me, Lord, what you. We are seeking God. We are seeking His ways. We want to know what He really wants to do. We're not trying to show off or trying to be some perky little thing, get you guys worked up. We are all trying to really get connected with God.
Amen.
And so, you know, if I'm describing you, that's where you are too. You know His ways. You seek His ways. When you hear His ways, you count the cost. You don't just jump in emotionally. You don't start rationalizing. You don't start, you know this is what He says. You're going to do it. You begin to count the cost. You begin to look at this thing. What is it going to take? You look at alternatives. You begin to think through these type of things. But then at the end, you allow wisdom to dictate. You allow God's Word to dictate how you are to respond. And you know right from wrong. You know what's appropriate and inappropriate. We are in need of fathers in the church. We are. Our pastor, that's his calling. We've all heard him say, other people say that and testify to that. If you've been around him, you know that he's got that in him. He has a love for people. He wants to see people do well. And just like I would my children, I want to see my children progress and bless and be blessed. I want to see them do good. I don't want to see them struggle. How many of y'all know when your children struggle, it breaks your heart? It just wears me out when my children have little problems. Doc, I tell you, it'll get me saved and sanctified. I'll be praying all kinds. They have little bitty problems. I want to help them out of the problem. But see, I can't be emotional about it because that's being like a child. I can't go do what I want to do. Like sometimes I want to just do what I want to do because that's childish. I can't go in there screaming and casting out demons and all that kind of stuff necessarily because I'm a young man. I have to allow wisdom to take its work. And that means you being patient. That means being kind. That means going back to all the definitions of love, of allowing it to work its way through. The father maturity is those who know God. Now, see, I say that because in the same way that we now know that love is patient, kind, and not jealous, that's love, and we also know that God is love.
Amen.
So now we can understand that God is patient, kind, and not jealous. The Bible says He's a jealous God, but it's not that kind of jealousy. He hovers over you like a chicken, and you're under His wings. How many of y'all would fight with a banty rooster? A chicken with, you know, the chickens can. I got attacked by a goose one time. Is that what those things are called? What's the things that are always flying and landing in the water? There's those Canadian geese. We went on a picnic, took the kids on a picnic, and I was attacked by a killer goose. Am I lying? Listen, she's got a bad memory. We were sitting on this picnic table and there was a bunch of geese. These geese came up and I'm sitting there with a glass of crushed ice or something. We just finished in the coat and the kids are down there at the pond. It was at Indian Springs. They were down there fishing. And this killer, these geese came up. One had an attitude. He was the killer goose. And he did that little, you know, that little open their mouth up. And I said, you better go. He was a radical goose. He didn't stop. He went, came a little closer. go. I'm not scared of no goose. Then that joke, he became demon possessed. All I could see was an open beak and her, and he was coming, and that neck was stuck out like it was that. I bet his neck was from here to that. All I could see was like a giant snake coming out of that bird, and his mouth was going, and he came up, was getting my mouth, I went, whoop, whoop, started throwing ice on it, threw the whole cup at him. Y'all just don't know what I've been through. I don't know how that fits into God is patient and kind, but. It was free. The good news is when you think that you're being attacked by a killer goose and things not working out right, you messed up something. The Bible says God is patient. Your Father is patient with you. He's not looking to part your hair with one of those roadrunner cannons. He's just wanting to help you. He's wanting to bless you. He's wanting to work with you. He's wanting to get you from the childhood to the adolescent to the fatherhood. He wants to get you to a place of maturity because when you're a child, you rocked all over the place. You're just one emotional thing after another. When you're an adolescent, you're always looking for a fight, but you don't have a whole lot of peace. But when you become a father, when you come to that place of maturity, you still have problems. You still have struggles. But wisdom in the Word of God dictates your responses. And you have peace. And you have rest. He also says he doesn't brag. So if somebody's bragging on you, he says he doesn't brag. He says you're well done, good and faithful one. He tells you he loves you. He tells you how special you are. He looks at you and he tells you how he knitted you in your mother's wombs. He made you and gave you the gifts. He prepared you. He gave you everything. And in Jeremiah it says he had plans for your life to be successful and prosperous. So if he made you and he knew that was the plan, he made you to do the plan.
Yes.
You're all going somewhere. Look at somebody again and say, you know, I may be going somewhere. Say it. But the more he talks, I know I'm going somewhere. The mature ones know that God's not easily provoked. He's really not looking to part your hair. He wants to bless you. He doesn't keep count of wrongs. The blood of Jesus has forgiven you from all your past, present, and future sins. He's covered them all. It's not about sin and forgiveness. He's covered them all through the blood of Jesus. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been sanctified unto God by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
You can accept the better speaking of His blood.
Yes.
Rather than what people say.
Amen. Yes.
The blood of Jesus.
Thank you.
Doesn't take. He didn't have a scoreboard.
That's right.
I used to think he did. And I helped him.
Mm-hmm.
You mess with me, I'd keep score on you in a heartbeat. Dottie was worse than I was. But if you know that God is like that, He does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but He rejoices in the truth. But we also know that He endures and covers faults of others, and He thinks best. He waits with confident expectation. He endures bravely and calmly, even when you mistreat Him. The love of the Father. The love of the Father. He says in verse 13, go back to 1 Corinthians, because it's important that you hear this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, and he says, there are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, have you ever wondered why the greatest is love? Really? Because He said it? Love conquers all. There's a lot of love scriptures. Well, give me some more love scriptures. God is love. Love conquers all. Does faith and love go together? Does it? Somebody give it to me. I'm waiting on a love scripture. Somebody can relieve me of the stand I'm taking here. Love casts out all fear. Love. Love. If God is love, He said faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. Do you know why part of that reason is? It never fails. It never fails. But love is the only thing you're going to take to heaven. You're not taking faith because you will see it. You're not walking in hope because you're in it. Faith and hope are for us on this planet. Faith is what pleases God.
Amen.
And faith is what helps you grow from being a child to an adolescent to an adult to a mature one. You just cannot allow yourself to be sidetracked. You have to let the process take place. You have to let Him work in you. If you feel real emotional and that you haven't been saved long or you haven't grown much, that's okay. We all need children in the church, right? No, I'm not being facetious. I'm telling the truth. That's just where you are. If you're an adolescent, you'll fight and you do all these things and you know that you've overcome Satan, you know some word, but you know that, but you struggle with human reasoning and arguments and so forth, analyzing everything. That's just where you are. But you're going somewhere. And in this day that we're going into, the seasons that we're going into in this world, with the economy like it is and all those things, we're not taking part of those things. But God is looking for people who want to mature. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to show up. But guess what? You don't have to strain to make this thing because it's in you. You just let it out. You just begin to release it and let Him. And then when you struggle, you go to Jerry's famous checklist. It's going to be famous one day. It's not original, but it's famous. And you struggle and you say, well, you know, the Word says this. The God, Word of God, you find the Word that says it. And then you go to that checklist. Am I acting in love? How am I doing? Am I being patient? Am I being kind? Am I being really merciful to people? Am I exhibiting the things of love? Am I really doing that? Okay, I'm falling short here. Okay. You know, it'll rescue you from some terrible decisions. It'll rescue you. Yes. Love never fails. Now, I said earlier, and we're going to close and have some time. I'd like to, if the Lord so wills, but you know what? Anytime the Lord does this, I know there's somebody here. That one, you don't know the love of God. You've never really experienced it. You may have experienced the legalisms of God. You may have heard the condemnation of God. You may have heard the shame of God. You may have had people, I never went to, until I got saved, I didn't know anything about church. I tried to know something about church, but it just wasn't in me. I went to an altar one time when I went to a tent revival, and I guess I was about 7 or 8 years old, and it was one of them wild, the old-fashioned tent revivals. I don't know why my parents took us. I didn't know what they did in church, but they took us there with somebody, and this evangelist preached, and everybody went to the altar, and I wanted to go to the altar. I didn't know why. I didn't know what they did at the altar. I didn't know what that, but I just wanted to be, I was drawn to that altar. And I went to the altar. I'll never forget. There's this woman down there, one of the meanest looking women you've ever seen. She's probably kin to that goose. mean woman. And so I'm going down to the altar. You know, they build it with like the old wheelchair ramps so people can walk up to the stage and everything. People crying and squalling and just doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm looking around, and this mean old woman looks at me and said, "Son, you received the Holy Ghost." "What do you say?" I went, "Ma'am, I ask you, boy, did you receive the Holy Ghost?" And I looked at her like she's crazy. I there's no telling what she probably thought, this boy. And I said, "Ma'am," and she said, "Oh, my Lord, son, get back to your seat with your mom and them. Get out of here. Boy, you ain't ready for this nonsense. You ain't ready. It's nonsense. Get out of here." How many of y'all know the goose got me? And I went back to my seat. It didn't bother me because I didn't know what they did. Maybe you're here tonight. You don't know what this is all about. But it's really nothing more than God says He loves you with a deep, abiding love. He just said what love was, and He has that for you, and He wants you to accept that love. Maybe tonight you have accepted that love, but you've not walked any deeper. You've not been fruitful. You've not been leaving fruit. And really, everything's come to naught in your life because you just haven't had the love. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're just a hardcore somebody that needs to just a jolt of Jesus. I got saved 15 times. Baptized once. I got saved. I went to the altar every service. All I wanted was what Jesus had for me. I wanted everything He had because I knew my way didn't work. And so I'm kind of waiting. Brother Jeff, if you have anything, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I believe there's somebody here that you need love. Amen. And I don't mean the sloppy agape. I don't mean that hug and kissy thing we do and smiles. But it's, you need somebody to be patient with you. You need somebody to be kind to you, merciful. You need somebody that won't keep score. You need somebody that's willing to show you the love of God in their lives. Maybe you need to show it for someone. Let's all stand.
Thank you, Lord.
love endures forever.
You know, I'm always susceptible to making mistakes.
That's right.
But God is never.
That's right.
And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Amen.
I know there's someone here.
Amen.
That you need the love of God in your life.
Amen.
You could have never been saved, never been in church, or you could have been saved in church, been in church a long, long time, but you've never experienced God's love. And He wants you to experience it tonight. He wants you to taste of the goodness of the Lord, the favor of the Lord. And He wants you to understand it's all by the blood of Jesus. That we all deserve the wrath of God. We all deserve His punishment. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have fallen short of what He calls us to do and be. We've all made mistakes of being emotional, messing up things left and right. You know, a lot of divorces are because we're emotional. You know, it really is. You go back and you think about those things, it just didn't seem half as bad as it did then. We make mistakes being children, fighting, the young men having that spirit on us that wants to fight and overcome and not having a lot of wisdom. But we just move, looking for signs. We don't care what we leave in the wake behind us. Be crumble crackers and dead geese everywhere. You don't care. You're going through with Jesus. And maybe you are someone who has reached fatherhood and you just have just somehow let it slip in your life. Somehow you've allowed yourself to become self-centered and concerned only about you and your world and what's going on with you. So I'm going to open up the altars now as she plays. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Tonight's your night. Just begin to pray. We're not going to tarry any longer. You know if you need something tonight. I want to ask you to come down and stand in line right here. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to have people that will pray for you. You know, I know that in a church this size, we always have somebody that's turned their hearts away from God. That you've turned your hope away from Him. You've turned your desires away from Him. You've said it's not any use in all this. And some of you got baggage that you feel like you've walked through life with a chain around your neck. Chain around your feet. And you walk and you walk and you walk. And you just know that you're going somewhere. You don't know where, but it's just you're awful tired. And some of us have become calloused. We're all about us. All about what we want. How we want it. Our ministry. Our life. Our work, our job, my worries, my bills, my income, lack of it, always worried about tomorrow. And then when you look at God, you're worried about Him accepting you like you are. And you think about it, you look and say, how can He ever just love somebody like me? How can He? I just mess up everything I touch. I've made so many mistakes. I've gone to the altar multiple times. How can He love me? But He says He's patient. He's kind. He's not keeping score. He's ready for you to be delivered and you to be healed and for you to accept your miracle tonight in Jesus' name. The song says, turn your eyes. And so if you hear, it's the last call. I want you to come down and let us pray for you. If you know you don't have the life of Jesus, if you know you don't have an experience, that new beginning, if you're ready for a fresh start, you're ready for a new thing, I want you to come. Won't you come now? I want you to come now. Don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about what people think. Tonight's your night. Don't leave here tonight. Don't leave here tonight. Tonight's your night. God wants you to know about His love. Sing this song with him. You know it, sing it. Some ladies, please come pray. It's going to be okay. Anyone else? Anyone else, won't you come? Amen.
Everybody just reach out. Come on. Just reach out in your own way unto the Lord. We can all take another dip of God's love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.